Hey, y'all, and welcome back to Uplift Fit Nutrition. Today, I have the amazing Brooke Boskovich. I am so happy that she is on here. I have been dying to have her on my podcast because she has just a wealth of knowledge in the world of fertility. And if you guys have not followed her on Instagram, she's the fertility dietitian, and she posts a lot of information, everything from cervical mucus to miscarriages to preconception care. So Brooke, thank you so much for taking your time to come on my podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me, Lacey. I'm excited to chat about fertility.
Now, before we popped on, you were telling me you had a story. So do you mind briefly telling my listeners about what makes you so passionate about fertility?
Oh, of course. So my personal story with health, it started back in high school, really, but it started coming together for me in college and when I was starting to study nutrition. So I was trying to get to the root of my own health concerns while I was also learning about how nutrition supports health. So one thing after another happened. I finally found some doctors that were willing to test instead of just guess, and no surprise, that was a naturopathic approach that I ended up finding support with. So definitely that more holistic kind of functional approach that led me to some answers for my own health. And that included a diagnosis with Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Wow. And celiac disease. So I was 20 when I got those two diagnoses, and you can imagine like the symptoms that I'd been battling up until then. At that time, I didn't really know it was impacting my cycle the way it was. I hadn't made that connection yet. But once I started making the nutrition and lifestyle changes, I realized like how my cycle regulated and how things kind of evened out all around with energy and how I felt, my gut, and all of that fun stuff. So that definitely led me to keep learning about nutrition and start exploring the functional medicine arena in relation to fertility.
Wow, that's very powerful. And for you, like, do you have a success story? Is there a success story here in regards to fertility for you?
Yeah. So at that time when I was going through my health stuff, I definitely was not trying to get pregnant, but years later when, I got married and we were ready to start trying, we were able to conceive, pretty easily. So yes, there's definitely a success story there. And I really do feel like if I hadn't have figured out those things when I did, and seeing the value in the nutrition and lifestyle changes, that my story with fertility would have been very different.
Well, you are just a breath of fresh air, and I absolutely love that you have used your own struggles to help others, just like I have. You know, that really helps us to connect and really make sure that we understand, of course, not only the what's and the whys, but we understand on an emotional and mental level as well what these people are going through.
Oh, definitely. It's definitely helpful to have that personal history of going through the steps yourself, for sure.
Now, let's talk about what even infertility means, because some people don't even understand what this means. They just think, okay, I'm having an issue with, you know, conceiving and making a baby. What defines infertility?
Yeah, so I hate the word infertility, honestly, but the technical definition of it is trying to conceive for 1 year and not having success, essentially. The reason I don't love it is because it doesn't mean you're not able to get pregnant if you've been trying for 12 months. It just means there are some barriers there that you need to go and investigate. So the term infertility to me sounds like, you know, it's not possible, you're just infertile, but really it's more subfertility or something underlying that we need to figure out in order to support your fertility and help it thrive. But yeah, that's a technical definition. If you're under 35, it's trying for 1 year without success. And if you're over 35, you're not technically given the diagnosis of infertility if you've been trying for under 6 months, but you're encouraged to go seek support at that time.
I love that you said that, because I know women, they get diagnosed with being quote unquote infertile, and it's like, okay, But what have you looked at? What have you tried? Is it maybe coming from a lack of a nutrient, stress, under eating, over exercising? Is it more structural? Is there a blockage? Is it the man? Maybe lack of semen? You know, there's so many different things. So let's dive into that next. I would love if you could tell us what the top things you see in your practice in regards to lack of being able to, you know, conceive.
Yeah, it's usually 2 to 3, if not more, barriers to how your body is supporting fertility. So these things are not seen as red flags in the conventional, what I call the conventional fertility protocol world. So oftentimes I'm finding a barrier in the gut. Whether it is overgrowth going on with bacteria, whether it's more of an infection or even like a parasite in there that is contributing to or creating a barrier to how you are digesting and using nutrients, both from food and from supplements. So the gut's a really, really big area that I always look into. 98% of the time find a barrier in the gut. So it's a huge one there. Another area that I often find a barrier to how your body is supporting fertility is definitely nutrient status. So under eating, chronically under eating or undernourishing has a really big negative impact on your fertility. So maybe you're not getting enough protein in your diet, protein that is really good quality and going to be providing you a lot of fertility-friendly nutrients. Your egg quality is going to suffer. And same for the guys, like gut health is important. Plenty of protein and good fertility-loving nutrients are just as important for sperm quality too. So those ones, and then just how you are supporting your metabolism. So when I say metabolism, people often think about weight loss or weight gain, but it's so much more than that. It's how your body is able to create energy. And fertility is such an energy intensive process. If there are barriers to how you're able, your cells are literally able to create that energy, your fertility is going to lose out because your body's trying to take care of you first and then reproduction after, if there are enough resources left over for fertility.
Right. Our menstrual cycle is really our fifth vital sign telling us, hey, there's something wrong. And if we're under eating, over exercising, there's some shape or form of internal or external stressor, our body's going to do what it should and say, hey, this is not a safe space in order for me to have a child. Let's not have our menstrual cycle or be able to have implantation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's such an important point. Like looking for cues in your cycle is so, so helpful. It can tell us a whole lot about where we need to investigate a little bit further to be able to better support your fertility.
And I love that you mentioned the gut because I see that a lot in regards to clients that come to me as well. Anything from parasites, and that could be blasto, giardia, an amoeba that can, also be candida, yeast overgrowth, or SIBO. Could be just lack of beneficial bacteria in the gut. So there's a lot of different things that can happen. And the most important thing is like, typically when there's one issue going on, there's something else that has come because of that. For example, with gut issues, if you have dysbiosis, if you have parasites, you could also have maybe hypothyroidism or nutrient deficiencies big time. So I always like to say, okay, we don't know what we don't know, and we have to be willing to look at all the potential factors affecting our health and our fertility.
That's so true. It's all so very connected. And then taking the time to dig a little bit deeper and see like what you can do, because there are often many very actionable steps that you can take to change how your body is struggling essentially to support your fertility. And it really comes down to a lot of nutrition and lifestyle support.
And let's talk about that. I think that gives us a great opportunity to say, okay, here are planned actionable steps that you can take if you're struggling with infertility that you can make sure that you're doing now, even without doing testing, that might help you. So let's talk about nutrition. How can we work on our diet, our lifestyle, balance our blood sugar to support fertility?
Yes. I always start with breakfast because there's so little emphasis put around it, or it kind of became something that we thought we could just throw out the window. Mm-hmm. But for blood sugar support and definitely for supporting how our body's creating energy, like starting your day with a good balanced breakfast with plenty of protein in it, a good source of complex carb in there for fiber and nutrients there. Healthy fats is so beneficial for your metabolism, really the rest of the day, and your blood sugar balance the rest of the day. So I recommend starting with that balanced breakfast within an hour of waking, ideally. And that can really be a game changer. And then after that, like continuing to eat consistently throughout the day, if you've been chronically under eating, you know, for however long, many women that I see, it's been years, if not a decade or more, mm-hmm. that they've definitely been chronically under eating. So consistently nourishing your body throughout the day is going to send a message that it's safe, that your body is getting nutrients consistently. So it can create that energy. It can support you and it can support fertility. So that's going to definitely support the hormone balance as well. So blood sugar balance is definitely a really big one to support in order to support all other hormones in your cycle and support ovulation. So we have to tell our body that it's safe enough, manage that blood sugar in order to get ovulation to happen consistently. So that's where I would start. I mean, protein is a big one that most women I work with are vastly under eating. So thinking about quality protein sources, and really those are animal protein sources, because they're going to give us the most bang for our buck as far as supporting fertility goes for the protein piece and the nutrient piece. And a heck of a lot of fertility loving nutrients in there, like B12 and B6 and choline, that are so important for literally programming the DNA of our egg, which is a pretty big deal when it comes to egg quality and conception. So that's where I would start with nutrition. And of course, I always have to say lots of color in the diet for those antioxidants.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Abundant variety. I mean, we want to eat the rainbow. Seriously, you got to get as much diversity in your diet, not only for nutrient status, but also feeding a healthy gut microbiome.
Yeah, definitely. All of those colors are so helpful for the bacteria in your gut, which of course is going to impact overall health too.
Yes. And let's talk about alcohol and coffee and caffeine, because I know women, they think, okay, alcohol is something I need to reduce when I get pregnant, but they also sometimes miss out on the, hey, drinking that alcohol while you're trying to get pregnant could be, or if you want to get pregnant in like 6 months, could be impacting you as well. Same with caffeine.
Yes, definitely. So when I'm talking about alcohol, I always like to talk about how it is a toxin. So our body doesn't need it, right? It has to be able to package it up and eliminate it. And the process to get rid of it is pretty energy intensive and requires a lot of the same nutrients that we need to support things like egg quality and hormone balance that's going to support conception. So you're kind of stealing away those nutrients from fertility with alcohol. And it doesn't mean like you can't ever have a little bit of wine or whatever your beverage is. Like, we have to find a balance between joy and, you know, supporting your body for fertility, but definitely be mindful with how you're consuming it if you choose mm-hmm. to consume it. So don't do it on an empty stomach. Don't save calories for it. Like, you need food to be able to support that alcohol being eliminated from your body. That's kind of the story with alcohol. Some people are a lot more sensitive than others. So figuring out where your happy balance is going to be important.
Yeah, I like to say if you can diminish it as much as possible, that would be helpful. Caffeine, 100%. Never just drink coffee by itself. You are causing your adrenals to pump out a lot of cortisol with that. And that is definitely going to tell your body, hey, I'm in fight or flight mode. That is not good when it comes down to wanting to conceive. So if you're going to drink caffeine, drink your cup of coffee, put some collagen creamer in it, at least a good amount of collagen, like 10 to maybe 20 grams, or just consume it with a meal. Very good for balancing your blood sugar and supporting your adrenals and supporting your fertility.
Yes. Coffee is not breakfast and definitely plays a major role in hormone balance if you are having it on an empty stomach. And so yes, definitely with food, adding that collagen in there can go a long ways too. But most of the time I find like if you're struggling to conceive, either cutting way back or making sure you're having it after with food is going to do the trick the fastest.
Yeah. And women, I know some of you guys are afraid to eat, especially when it comes down to eating to feed a baby. So I just want to encourage you, like if you're struggling with fertility, speak with a dietitian, make sure that you're eating enough, you're getting enough nutrients, make sure you're eating enough calories. Sometimes, you know, we don't understand what a portion control should look like. And when it comes down to, if you're having trouble to conceive, some women could, you know, you could have insulin resistance. You might need to back down on the carbs. Other women, you might need to increase your carbs and your fat. You might have some shape or form of hypothalamic amenorrhea, which is basically a short term for you're under eating. So it really depends on the person. And I really encourage you to work with a dietitian like Brooke, like me, like somebody who's going to be able to be there, hold your hand and tell you, okay, this is what you need to do for your situation.
Definitely. There's a lot of emphasis put around weight loss to be able to conceive easier, but we have to, if that is something that your doctor has told you, or you feel like you need to do, doing it in a way that you're still telling your body it's safe is so, so important, because we can't cut back so drastically to lose weight really fast and still expect good egg quality to and easy conception to come along with it. So nutrient dense diet is so, so helpful. And that's again, where that protein comes in, where those healthy fats come in, and carbs. Yeah. I mean, definitely finding your own carb balance is important. I would say the majority of women that come to me are way under eating carbs, and that is also contributing to the stress factor and, kind of turning down their metabolism. So they're not producing energy as efficiently there, but definitely a nuanced macronutrient there. And we can eat enough overall without really overdoing it on carbs too. So there's a happy balance there, and a dietitian can definitely help you find that.
Now let's talk about, I want to talk about some lifestyle things as well as supplementation to help with fertility. And then I want to address and discuss like the differences between infertility with or without IVF. So what are some things in regards to lifestyle changes that you like to suggest to help with increasing your chances of conceiving?
Focus on your sleep quality. It is so underrated, but so, so important to get good quality sleep. Not only is it going to support your natural detox system, because that's when the majority of it happens, is when we're sleeping. You know, it's a time for our cells to rest and repair. And it definitely supports hormone balance. So focus on getting your 7 to 9 hours of good quality sleep a night. That might mean, you know, creating new habits of decreasing screen time for 1 to 2 hours before bedtime. And I know that can sound really scary, but it can make a really big difference. So start cutting back small for sleep quality there, and trying to set a bedtime. So you're going to bed at about the same time every night, you're waking up at about the same time in the morning. So your circadian rhythm can adapt to that, and that will help you get better quality sleep too. So along with getting good quality sleep, you know, just that improvement there is going to help you make better food choices during the day. And it's also going to give you more energy to do things like move a little bit more. So movement can be really helpful. So if you don't have any exercise routine in place, like start small. It's totally okay to start with walking and just increase how much you're moving in that way during the day. If you have an exercise routine in place, evaluate it for whether it is causing more stress on your body. Because if you're under eating and over exercising, it's definitely playing a negative role in how your body's able to support fertility. So we don't want to be using up too much nutrients or spiking the stress hormones with exercise when we are trying to conceive. So it doesn't mean you can't have like more like moderate intensity exercise, but a lot of women can find benefit of cutting back for a while they work on improving things like stress management, sleep quality, and eating more to support their fertility.
Absolutely love that. And then we can talk about like, there are some other things that you could do, like of course, limiting endocrine disruptors in your environment, which will literally disrupt your endocrines and potentially cause issues with fertility and conceiving. And then of course, things like acupuncture and things that put you in a parasympathetic state, like the gentle walking, yoga, even I like suggesting like reading and just doing beneficial things that help tell your body, hey, it's safe, I'm calm, in order to have a big success there.
Yeah. Intentionally getting into a relaxed state is so important. And acupuncture, I love acupuncture. It's really good additional support that you can do too, whether you're trying to conceive naturally or with reproductive technology, definitely a good one to get into. And the endocrine disruptors, that's a huge one too. So evaluating your environment for products that are like overloading your system, which requires more nutrients to get rid of, therefore taking nutrients away from your fertility.
So you guys, you know, I have, other podcasts all about removing endocrine disruptors, limiting them. So make sure you check those out. There are a couple people also I really like following on Instagram, the Environmental Toxin Nerd. That's one of my favorites. There's also somebody, I can't remember her off the top of my head. I think it's, let me search it up. Ingredients. Should have been prepared. I never come with notes for my podcasts. Oh, well. Just.ingredients is another one I like to follow. So make sure that you're looking at that, because that can play a big role. I know some people are like, but I love my scented laundry detergent, but your body doesn't. So you got to make some of these adjustments and make it, you know, one step at a time. Now let's talk about supplementation, because you mentioned things like omega-3s, fats. So for you, what would be some top recommendations for supplementation that you suggest?
Magnesium is a big one.
Love it. So,
yeah, we get magnesium in really small amounts in a lot of foods, but it's nowhere near like what we need for our current modern day environment, which, you know, has a lot of stressors from many different areas. And it's likely been happening for a lot of your life in one way or another. So whether it is those endocrine disrupting chemicals or poor sleep quality or like external stress going on, we deplete magnesium really fast and we need it every day. So supplemental form, I'm recommending like the glycinate form a lot, but there are others that are really helpful too. And that is a really huge one that I recommend to pretty much all of my clients. Taking it in addition to, I don't typically recommend supplementing things like potassium, but that's an electrolyte that can be really supportive of how magnesium functions too. So getting a lot of potassium in your diet can help support the magnesium as well. Other supplements that I'm recommending definitely include like a comprehensive prenatal. So a couple of brands that I love there are Full Well. That is an awesome, very comprehensive one. Needed Nourishment is also a really good comprehensive one there too. Beyond that, it's fairly individualized. It definitely doesn't hurt to have additional antioxidants on board. So CoQ10 is a big one that is well researched and very supported, as well as NAC or N-acetylcysteine, super supportive of a quality as well. And then if, depending on where you need support. So say you need some sleep support, melatonin might be a great option. Melatonin is well researched for IVF outcomes. So like a small dose, 3 to 5 milligrams can be super supportive there if you're needing some extra sleep quality support too. So those are some of the main ones. And if you're not getting fatty fish in your diet 2 to 3 times a week, definitely a DHA EPA combo supplement, which it's fish oil essentially, can be really helpful too.
Wow. I love me some fish oil or krill oil. I'm a big fan of adding some omega-3 fatty acids because unfortunately we don't get a lot of them in our day to day. Some people do. So if you're eating your fatty fish, you're getting your eggs, don't worry about it. But if you are vegan, vegetarian, you might want to think about supplementing. And I love that you mentioned the prenatals. So important. I'm going to say there are some other things that I do like to recommend as well. I'm a big fan of chromium, which is very helpful for insulin sensitivity, which a lot of women can have issues with. And then I'm a big, big fan of myo-inositol to help with that brain to ovary communication, egg quality. And it's definitely proven to help with not only increasing your chances of pregnancy, but also decreasing PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. And you guys know I've talked about that so many times on my Instagram and my posts. That's an umbrella term for like irregular cycles or hirsutism, high testosterone levels. So something to keep in mind is that inositol can be very powerful for any woman that's trying to become pregnant, which is why I made my Hormonal Harmony by NourishWell. But anyways, I absolutely love that. And there are a bunch of other things that you could do, but I like to try and say, stick with the basics, check your blood work, see what you need. And if you're still having issues, let's dive deeper. Let's look at your gut. Let's look at your thyroid. You should be looking at that with blood work, but let's figure out what else could be going on. Could cortisol be an issue? Are you struggling with maybe heavy metals or mold, or do you need to do IVF and then have to add in other specific things to help you with your IVF as well? There's so many things. And I always like to say, and I think you are this way too, let's go case by case. Let's see what you need as an individual.
Oh, absolutely. I am a huge fan of testing rather than guessing. So it is pretty individualized, and like all of the supplements can be supportive for the majority for sure. But if you want to get even more specific, and maybe you need something we didn't even mention, and we just don't know because we don't know what's going on with your specific case.
Now, when it comes down to IVF, let's talk about the differences and what is important when it comes down to fertility with IVF and how you support somebody with IVF versus somebody who's just trying with the normal physical manner.
Yeah. So the foundations are really the same. I recommend starting at minimum 3 to 4 months before you're either trying to conceive or before egg retrieval is happening if you're going the IVF route, in making those nutrition changes, making your lifestyle changes to support your fertility. Because that about 90 to 100 day period is the time that it takes to significantly improve your egg quality. And so if we are talking about IVF, like more antioxidants are going to be really helpful because you're going to be maturing more eggs with the help of hormone support more quickly. So you want as much protection around those follicles that are developing and are going to hopefully be successfully retrieved. So antioxidants are your friend to help you support or decrease the damage that could happen with that rapid maturation stage. And then there's other support with IVF because of the hormones that are being administered for retrieval and then for transfer as well. So more significant detox support could be helpful for you depending on where you're starting. I talk a lot about sleep quality again for both natural and IVF support, but things like getting your lymph system flowing, the acupuncture piece can be really helpful for encouraging blood flow where we want it to be flowing well. Definitely like castor oil packs when appropriate during those phases of IVF can be really helpful too. But honestly, all of those things are going to help with natural conception too. So it all starts with that egg and focusing on good egg quality and good sperm quality, but getting your body ready for retrieval to be able to recover from that, and then ready for transfer, and then obviously just setting up your body to be able to nourish a healthy pregnancy.
You are just so smart. I absolutely love all the helpful tips for you that are coming from you, and most importantly, like actionable items. So thank you so much, Brooke. Is there anything when it comes down to fertility that we have not discussed that you think is very important for us to talk about today?
I think the main takeaway from this just should be the goal to tell your body that it's safe. I mean, if you can remember that in your day-to-day with like how you're eating and how you're moving and how you're managing your stress, that can make a big improvement as to how your body is able to support fertility. And that can kind of take a mindset shift. So that, I think that's something that we haven't talked about that is important to mention too, like your mindset around being able to get pregnant and that you're worthy about being pregnant is really, really powerful too, because it's going to keep you in a state that's going to be motivating. I don't mean always be positive, like that's not realistic, but shifting your mindset can be really beneficial to support your fertility as well.
I love that you mentioned that, and internal trauma that has not been addressed, mm-hmm. especially, I mean, it could be not just like physically held in your body, but mentally and emotionally, that's an ongoing stressor to your body. So if there's any shape or form of trauma that maybe you've not worked through, that could be relational, that could be physical, that could be mental, things that you went through as a child or a high schooler, make sure that you're doing these things, working with a therapist, talking things out, because this can hold you back from healing and hold you back from potentially conceiving as well.
Definitely. It can be a big red flag that your body's not safe enough, or something internal is telling your body that it's not quite safe enough to focus on reproduction.
So we have gone through a lot, you guys. I hope this has been very helpful. I'm just going to recap and say, focus on your diet, focus on maximizing the antioxidants, polyphenols, the color, the variety, make sure you're eating enough. Definitely your food quality matters. So don't go in there and, you know, some people, oh, like I need to eat more. Let me go eat more of, you know, the inflammatory foods just because I need to gain weight. No, focus on quality, because the quality also impacts the epigenetics and how that baby is going to create DNA, RNA, and grow and thrive in their day to day. So know what you do now also impacts your child's future. Very important. Let's focus on reducing the endocrine disrupting chemicals. Then we will focus on testing, not guessing. Let's check your nutrient status, your thyroid. If you're having gut distress or really struggling with fertility still, let's check your gut. Let's see what potential toxins could be there. Let's look at your environmental toxins. And then, of course, there's more things that you could do past that, but those would be like the top things to cover. Did I miss anything? Anything else you want to throw out?
I think you have it covered.
Awesome. I love it. The most important thing is, you guys, listen to your body. And don't say enough is enough and I'm stuck. And before you go down the route, because IVF is very expensive, before you go down the route of IVF, please look at everything that you can prior.
Oh, yes. So important. There are a lot of gaps in the conventional fertility protocol, a lot. So don't be afraid to seek alternative support and explore other avenues. They're definitely not looking at things like gut health or are you eating enough or anything like that. So seek out a dietitian. There are many really great ones out there to help you support your fertility.
I love it. And of course, always have a good OBGYN that's ruling out the basics. You know, you're looking at potential, you know, blockages, endometriosis, scarring, anything like that. Make sure that they've done all that. And then of course, look at your man. I know so many women, they focus on, okay, it's all me. Like it's all my fault. And it's what's going on with my body, but don't forget about the man, because it takes two to tango.
Definitely. They are contributing 50% of that DNA. And we are seeing research that they are 50% the reason that that infertility is happening. And they are vastly under tested. Like, a sperm analysis is not that hard of a test. Like, you think about all the tests that women go through, and, you know, they can provide a sperm sample pretty easy peasy. So, and it gives you a ton of information and a really good place to start for any additional tests, if necessary.
Yeah. And that's a whole nother reason why I'm like, okay, you guys both are giving out 50% of your DNA. Let's make sure both of you guys are supporting your diet, lifestyle, environment, making sure that you're all focusing on, okay, what DNA are we passing over? Like, how can we make sure we pass over good DNA? So make sure that both people are taking care of themselves. Brooke, thank you so much for taking your time to come on my podcast today. Where can my listeners find you, follow you, and potentially work with you?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. So, big place to come say hi to me is Instagram. I'm at the.fertility.dietitian there. Lots of content there. I have a blog on the fertilitydietitian.health, which is my website. You can check out my info and my programs there. I run a group program and a private coaching program. Both of them have wait lists, so you can jump on those if you're interested.
Awesome. I love it. Well, thank you so much again, Brooke. You are just a wealth of knowledge, and I absolutely love getting to talk with you. You guys, I hope this podcast was helpful. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or if you want any other specific topics on my podcast, shoot me a DM, share this with the world that it potentially could be helpful with. Also, we want to help grow this podcast, reach more women. So make sure to share it on your stories, tag me at Faith of Fifth on Instagram. And I hope you guys all have a great rest of your day.